title of this program today is Passover or Easter? Turning now to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Being justified by faith, we have peace with Yah through our mighty one, through our sovereign, Yahusha HaMashiach, by whom also we have access by faith into this unmerited favor, this ken, the Hebrew word ken, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the esteem of Yah. And not only so, but we esteem in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience, experience, experience, hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of Yah is shed abroad in our hearts by the Ruach HaKadosh, which is given unto us. That was in Romans 5, reading from the King James Version, the KJV, and changing names and titles and words were appropriate back to the correct words, the correct English ones, that is, as we have studied, and throughout the website you can find that information, mostly under Yahweh, Yahweh, and the Yahweh file at the top of our home page, yahwehyahweh.name. Click on Yahweh, and that will take you to how to correct some of these words. There's only 50 of them. Someone once said that you would have to correct the entire English language. Well, that's false. There's only 50 or so words that we need to worry about, and actually even less than that, that are very important, of great import in our life. 1 Corinthians 5 now talks about the feast that is at hand here, the Pesach or Passover. We don't go through all kinds of Jewish rituals, reading some prayers, maybe one or two prayers that were made up by man in a Jewish prayer book, but we don't want to read all those and go on for hours and hours about that. We only want to pray and lift up those in the assembly that Yahweh will change our hearts, cause us to grow in Him and to love Him more, and to want to do the one thing we are created to do, to praise Him. Not for ourselves to get pleasure and enjoyment so much, I mean, even though that is there, but also that He wants us to enjoy life and the life to come, but He also wants us first and foremost to praise Him. Chapter 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. You're puffed up. So there's the problem with this time of year. We need to get unleavened. We shouldn't be puffed up. We see the symbolism there of leavening and being puffed up. You're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already as though I am present concerning him that has so done this deed, that he should have his father's wife there, referring back to verse 1. So verse 4, in the name of Yahweh, and then in the name of his son, Yahusha, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of Yahweh, Yahusha, to deliver such as one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Yahweh, Yahusha. Also see 1 Timothy 1:20. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. You're free, you have liberty in Messiah. You're unleavened. For even Yahusha, our Passover, is offered for us. See also Hosea 12:5 and Acts 12:4. And if I get an opportunity, I will look that up in Hosea. You can look up Acts 12:4. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. See also Ezekiel 16:49 and James 5:16. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to keep company with fornicators. That would be spiritual fornicators and physical fornicators. All right, now let's see if I can find this here in Hosea, in the Old Testament, Hosea 12:5. As we keep our minds and hearts on Yahusha today, and on the Father above, Yahweh, the Father above, who through his Son created all these wonderful creations. 12:5, Hosea, even Yahweh, Yah of hosts, or Yah of armies, Yahweh is his memorial. So we keep that memorial once per year, reckoning by the, first of all, by the new moon, the new year, some reckon by the conjunction, the dead, the black moon, some go by the crescent, some go before these delineations, these marks of time here. Genesis 1:14. But so we looked at the new year for 2015, and by our reckoning, let us say that by our reckoning, we came up with the pagan dates. Let me just use the pagan names here. March 21st, going into the Sabbath day, was the new year, the new moon, as we saw the sliver, the crescent. Many websites reported of having seen this, the truth of Yahweh, Karite-Corner, that's spelled with K, Karite and Corner, and the Karite-Corner was keeping the new moon, I believe, going into the 21st. But some strangely were keeping it a day later, even though in the northern hemisphere and southern hemisphere, the moon was already sighted. But somehow or another, they're going along with the traditional customary Jewish time of keeping things a day later. They'll wind up keeping the feast a day later. Now, I'll show you how that is. On the 21st of March, or the third month there, was the new year. And then on the 14th of Aviv, the 14th of this month, we have the Passover. So that is April 4th, or 4/4/2015, the Passover. The evening before, last night, we had the traditional foot washing, the taking of the elements, the bread and the wine. And we're not promoting cannibalism. The emissaries, the disciples, were not sitting next to the Messiah, partaking of his flesh. They were not, they didn't, you know, here, give me your arm and start gnawing away on his arm. No, it was all symbolic. So there's no cannibalism about it. It's symbolism, the great symbolism of Messiah's body that was shed for our sins. So, I'll get to that in a few moments, perhaps, here. So we have the Passover day, and also the timing of the death, burial, and the resurrection. So that would be on the 14th of Aviv. Messiah was impaled on the tree at Calvary from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m., as most of you know that, on the 14th of Aviv or Nisan. And then the next day is going to be the first high day of unleavened bread, the 15th of the month. This is found in Exodus chapter 12 and Leviticus 23, as well as many other addresses in the scriptures. So the first day of unleavened bread will be 4/5. That's the high day. Then we have the common days of unleavened bread, the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th on the Roman. And on Yahweh's calendar, it's the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th. And then on the 21st, that's next Sabbath, reckoning from this day, on 4/11/2015, we have the high day, the second high day of unleavened bread, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. All right? And that was found in the easiest place, of course, quickest, is Leviticus 23, that is talking to the, who is he talking to? He's speaking to the children of Israel. And then we'll move on quickly from the subject. I'm not going to dwell on the timing. This has all been covered many, many other places. So Leviticus 23, verse 5, in the 14th day of the first month at even is Yahweh's Passover. It says here in the King James, Lord's. Well, that's incorrect. Of course, Lord is an entirely different connotation there, if we trace that all the way back. But is Yahweh, if we look in the original copies of scrolls, in the Antioch scrolls, and we look at the Hebrew lexicon, the concordance, we find out that it's not Lord, but it is Yahweh, Y-H-V-H. Yahweh's Passover, and on the 15th day of the same month, and that'll be tomorrow, 15th day, will be the high day now. 15th day of the month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto Yahweh. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have a separated convocation. It says holy here. We don't use that. We do not use that word. First day you shall have a pure convocation or separated convocation. No pollution will be coming into the assembly. You shall do no servile work therein. And by the way, in Exodus 12, verse 16, we find out that we can actually, in Exodus 12, that we can actually prepare food on this particular feast, this Pesach. All the other feasts, that rule may not apply in my reckoning, but some think that it does. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh 7 days, and the seventh day is a pure convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. All right, and then it all hinged on the word servile work, but I'm not going to get into that exhaustively today. Wanting to go into the order of Yahweh's impalement, Yahweh's burial, his death, burial, and resurrection, found mainly in Matthew chapter 12 of the newer scriptures, which you've heard me, if you've been listening to Stephan Yah for many years here. You've heard this time and time again. But this, in evangelicalism, the whole problem of breaking the Sabbath hinges on this truth of the timing of the resurrection. Now, we could get into the high days. We could get into when they bought the spices, when they brought the spices, you know, bought, and then they brought the spices to the tomb. And Messiah was not there because he had already resurrected before, even on the 17th. We could do that, but it's easier just to tell the world here, tell you, and remind myself, remind all of us, that it was just 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth. Jonah 1:17. So Matthew 12 says, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights, or I should change that, 3 nights and 3 days, as the night becomes before the day. 3 nights and 3 days in the whale's belly, Jonas was, so shall the Son of Man be 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth. See Daniel 9:26. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. That's the Messiah. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Yeah, even the queen of Sheba there was impressed. Where the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he finds it empty, swept and garnished. Then the unclean spirit, he takes with himself 7 other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. So we just found out the order. The Messiah was impaled on the tree at Calvary. Hope I'm saying this all correctly here. I'm an aged old preacher here, about ready to bail out of out of the radio business. Excuse me, I should say radio ministry. But as we know, the Passover is the 14th of Aviv, so 3 nights and 3 days later, including that, inclusive of that night, winds up the 17th of Aviv. Now, according to all the scriptures, it seems like it's keyed to a particular day, the first day of the week. And we could read one of those references for us there. Let's go to John. And it seems to indicate that it was the first day of the week, the S day, the Sunday morning. John 20, verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the emissaries that she had seen Yahweh, or it says here, Lord, meaning the Messiah, that she had seen Yahweh, and that he, or Yahusha, excuse me, I should be saying Yahusha, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, before the first of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, That's why they were assembled. They weren't having a necessarily a time of praise and prayer. For fear of the Jews came Messiah and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And then we'll go back. We'll go back to the earlier part of this in John 19. John 19, verse 14. It was the preparation of the Passover, the preparation of unleavened bread, in other words, of the 15th, the high day. It was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, behold your king. And we're talking the sixth hour here in Roman time. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, impale him. Pilate said unto them, shall I impale your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. They delivered him therefore unto them to be impaled, and they took Messiah and led him away. Skipping to verse 21, then this chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, write not the king of the Jews, but that he said, I am the king of the Jews. Then over to verse 31, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the tree at Calvary on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath was a high day, they besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. The days of unleavened bread are still being recognized even after the death of Messiah on the tree. 32, then came the soldiers and broke the legs of the first and of the other which was impaled with him. But when they came to Messiah and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. 39, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Messiah by night, there in John chapter 3, he came by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then they took the body of Messiah, and wound it in linen clothes, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was impaled, there was a garden, in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. Last verse, there laid they Messiah, therefore, because of the preparation day of the sepulchre was nigh at hand. So we saw from Matthew 12, there was 3 nights and 3 days in the sequence of events. Now, on to the next verse. John chapter 20, verse 1. The first of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark. Let's go to verse 19 again. Then the same day at even, being the first of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. So apparently, at this particular time, Mary Magdalene was going on the first of the week after Messiah had risen from the grave and ascended to the Father. The scriptures concerning the new moons, you can find that on our website, yahweh.name, talking about the new year. Under new moons, you'll find two files, at least, moons 1 and 2, new moons 1 and 2. And that one was made or recorded back in 2013. And also a file, an audio file called Gregorian Calendar, Time Was Not Lost. And that was recorded back in 2011, around this time of year. And there'll probably be some other text files as well. In fact, there will be some text files that you can refer to about the timing. The new moon found in Isaiah 1, 13, and 14, Isaiah 66, from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before Yahweh, referring to the time in the future. Jeremiah 31, 35, in reference to the new moon and the new covenant. Psalm 104, Psalm 81, Amos 8, 5, Nehemiah 10:33, Nehemiah 13:19, Colossians 2:16, let no man judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of a feast day, a new moon, a Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body of Messiah, let them judge. Deuteronomy 16:1, Exodus 12:1, Numbers 28, 11 and 14, Genesis 1:14, and all of those, of course, are found in text as well as in MP3 audio on the website. So we have Messiah. Moses was a type of the Messiah. He was an intercessor. Our intercessor now is that high priest, that one of the Melchizedek high priests spoken of in the New Scriptures and in Hebrews. Moses dealt with the temple offerings. And those temple offerings, of course, required an intercessor, Moses himself. It required the offerings. And this was before our Messiah, the Son of Yahweh. And we're discovering this, the spiritual significance of Yahweh's feasts, his set-apart times. It's, people complain, oh, it's religious. It's just doing religion. No, it's not. I'm sorry, sir or ma'am. It's not just doing religion. It's doing Yahweh's word. Let us go to the word again. Let's discard all of our pagan traditions, all of the New Age movement, all these new things coming into our cultures and into our religion, our churches, and so on, and discard those new and those old customs that are not based on Yahweh's word. Let our fruit grow. And, now we're going to go to some scriptures. We want to go to Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So asking in prayer, believing. And then back to 16:19 in the newer scriptures, chapter 16, verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Yes, we bind in the name of Yahusha. That's Yahweh's son, Yahusha. We bind Satan's power in our realm, in all of our borders. We bind him and we cast him out. Let no one confuse our hearts and our lives. Let no one disturb us and cause us to get into despair and to deep depression. You know, a lot of that depression, though, just comes from the lifestyle of not living right, of eating too much. Eating the wrong foods or eating too much is probably the worst of the two problems there, the two evils, if I could use that term, evil. And the other thing is not getting enough exercise, not getting enough fresh air, not enough sunshine, not enough fellowship with believers. Oh, I went, okay, chapter 18:18, I went up to Portland, Oregon, and had such wonderful fellowship there with the Lion of Judah Fellowship on 70th and Flavelle in southeast Portland. And people, Jews, were coming by and saying, what is this all about anyway? And we were able to minister to them. I saw Hezekiah there and his wonderful wife, Abigail. Matthew 16, but if you will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two witnesses. And in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. That's not judging Yahweh's word, that's judging people and their actions. If it's gone way beyond the point of no return, as it were. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the assembly. But if he neglect to hear the assembly, let him be unto thee as a heathen and a publican. Verse 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. See also Mark 10:9. And 19:16, I think we already did. Let's see. Did we do 19? Or is that 61? No, that's 19:6. Excuse me. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore Yahweh has joined together, let no man put asunder. Okay, and back to the previous chapter, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then Kepha said to him, and said, L-O-R-D, or Yahusha, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Messiah said unto him, I say not unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So if they go over 490 times, then... No, I don't think that's... It's just the principle here. We don't count how many times they offend us, but we do hold people accountable. While we may forgive them, and we should, I would think in every instance we have to hold one another accountable. Yahweh holds us accountable as well. If we sin 490 times, he's going to get the idea that we're not repenting, that we're not having a changed heart, that our attitude is not right. And that goes along with our culture. As we buzz out of the assembly, out of a Passover service, foot washing, and Yahweh said your joy would be full. Oh, we've got to go to those scriptures. I think it's Matthew 13 to start off with. But if we just go out and punch the button in our car and turn on some carnal rock and roll neo-Christian music, how is that going to set with our spirits and put us in a different frame? No, I think we need some old boring church organ music, some old dead. No, we don't need either of those two extremes, do we? Ah, yes. Okay, it's Matthew 13. And if I'm telling you the right one here, this is about leaven here. 13:33, another parable he spake unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Now, the leaven here represents the assembly. And no, it represents sinners. The kingdom of heaven is like unto sinners, which a woman, the assembly, a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Yes, we don't want to just bring everyone to Yahweh's Passover meal, to the foot washing and all that. We want to be sure that they're serious and that they really do want to get right with Yahweh and trust in him for their salvation, not in their works, that they want to repent from those bad works that they've done, and they want to lift up and encourage the good ones that they do, the works of following Yahweh's word. 37, he that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, after this parable. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. 40, therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so that it shall be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his messengers, they shall gather out of his kingdom all that offend, all things that offend, and them which do iniquity or law-breaking. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to go out and judge the neighbor or preacher next door who's still not keeping the 7 day Sabbath. No, we're going to give them, we're going to have as much mercy with them as our Father has mercy with them. And we're not going to have more mercy than our Father has. We're not going to have less. And they shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The messengers shall cast them into the furnace of fire. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now it talks about the unclean there in verse 48, but let's go on to this about the Passover. Next, the title of this program today is Passover or Easter? But we're going to John 13. Now, before the feast of Passover, taking of the bread and wine. The feast of Passover, when Messiah knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. See also 19:14. And supper, during supper, is how that should be translated, I believe. That's somebody figure that out. It says, and supper being ended, but it might say, supper, during supper, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas, or Yehuda Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Messiah, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from Yahweh and went to Yahweh. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments. The Messiah laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the emissary's feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then Simon cometh he to Simon Peter, or Kepha. Peter saith unto him, Yahusha, dost thou wash my feet? Messiah answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Kepha said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Asai answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Kepha said unto him, Yahusha, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Yahusha said to him, He that is washed needeth not, save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. He could have been referring to Yehuda there, to Judas. Chapter 15, verse 3 says this, Now you are clean to the word which I have spoken unto you. Okay, then back to chapter 13 now. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, You are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know you what I have done to you? Verse 13, You call me Master and Yahusha, and you say, Well, for so am I, or so I am. Now I changed that word, L-O-R-D, to Yahusha. You call me Master and Yahusha, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, Yahusha and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Now I went to a Messianic Passover service, and the one leading said, No, we're not going to do that. But here it said in John 13 that we should do the foot washing. Verily, verily, I say to you, that servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, joyful are you, and I change the word from happy, because there's a problem with that, joyful are you if you do them. See also Luke 22. Now we're going to the next reference here. We could go to Luke 22:16 regarding the Pesach. Is it Pesach or Easter? Easter is from Astarte. If we look up in most encyclopedias, it is the Astarte in Jeremiah 7 and many other references here. If you search throughout the website here under my files of feasts, then you'll learn more about the word Easter. That was the first word that I ever discovered had a problem, and even before I became Sabbath-keeping, before Messianic, but after I was saved and born again, that I did understand there was a serious problem with the word Easter. The English word Easter is corrupt, and it means a Babylonian sexual feast. And he said unto them, this is Luke 22:15, and he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of Yahweh. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of Yahweh shall come. So let's go back to 16. I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of Yahweh. And notice that wasn't blood, that wasn't real blood. That was wine, which represents, that's the symbolism, the symbol of Yahweh's blood. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Divide it among yourselves. I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of Yahweh shall come. And yes, I do believe that's Passover wine. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body. So it wasn't his body. They didn't start gnawing on his arm there. He took bread, break it, and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. It was symbolic. Messiah was standing next to the bread and wine, and they were eating the bread and wine. Okay? One person emailed me and very strongly said that that's cannibalism. Well, he didn't get the spiritual significance of this passage. He took the bread, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And then talks about Judas betraying him. And then verse 31. And Yahusha said in verse 31, Kepha, Kepha, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now we have some scriptures about Passover in Exodus chapter 12, and then moving toward the evangels again. Chapter 12, 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of Yahweh went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto Yahweh for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of Yahweh to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. Going back to 22, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Yes, the death angel was passing over. And so for Passover, we need Yahweh's blood to be applied to the doorposts of our hearts. Verse 27, you shall say, it is the sacrifice of Yahweh's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Egypt, of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head and praised him. 43, and Yahweh said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. So we've just read 42, a night to be much observed. That is believed to be the high day, the first high day of unleavened bread, also called Passover. 45, a foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof, of the lamb or the goat. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to Yahweh, let all his males be circumcised. Yes, we need to be circumcised in heart as well as physically for males. And then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. See also Numbers 9:14. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourns among you. One law, not a Jewish law, one Gentile law, but one law, Yahweh's law. Then to the next passage that I find in Jeremiah 17, tells us to hallow the Sabbath day. Actually, we already did that one, okay. And the next passage is in the book of Matthew. Matthew 26, 17. Now the first of unleavened bread and day of the feast is in italics, so we could eliminate that. Now the first of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Messiah, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? So this is before the Greek word proto, now the first of unleavened bread, before the Passover, came to Messiah, saying unto them, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Messiah had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And that they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Yahweh, is it I? Or Yahusha, is it I? And 26, as they were eating, Messiah took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, drink you all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for remission of sins. See Acts 15. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then Messiah said unto them, and all you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Then in the book of Luke, now Messiah was impaled, he was put in the tomb, and he is buried. And then we find in Luke 24, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them." So this is 4 days later after the impalement of Messiah. "And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of Yahusha. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, 'Why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be impaled, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest." This passage in John chapter 16 is speaking of the Spirit, the Comforter, even though the Messiah is spoken of in Isaiah chapter 9 as wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, and Mighty Yah. John chapter 16, 7, Messiah speaking, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." See also John 12:31. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall will show you the things to come. He shall," we'll change that glorify word there, "he shall magnify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." 20. John 16:20. "Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. For you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." He is coming. He's coming quickly. Finally, we look in John chapter 3. This is where it is, John chapter 3. John answered and said in verse 27, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not Messiah, but that I am sent before him. He that has the bride is the bridegroom. He that has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled, not done away with, but made full. He must increase, but I must decrease." So that was my comment there, that the word fulfilled does not mean to do away, but to fill full. So verse 30, "He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no man received his testimony. He that has received his testimony has set to his seal that Yahweh is true. See also Ezekiel chapter 9, 4 to 6. For he whom Yahweh has sent speaking the words of Yah, for Yah gives not the Spirit by measure unto him, the Father loves the Son, and has given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of Yahweh abideth on him. That's the end of John chapter 3. May Yahweh bless you. We are created as a sweet fragrance of incense as we offer our lives as a sacrifice to him. May Yahweh be praised today. And to remember the very last thing that it says in the Old Testament, in the English Old Testament, that is, in the book of Malachi, Malachi 4:4, remember you the law of Moses, the law of Yahweh, really, literally, Galatians 6:16, remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Eliah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with utter destruction or a curse. Remember, the email address is stephanyah@yahweh.name. Maybe we'll talk to you again during this feast of Passover, unleavened bread. Some of the feast files that might be of interest to you, Tabernacles programs, or FOT, Feast of Tabernacles, Atonement 1, 2, and 3, Ezekiel 36, Fasting, Feast Commandment, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast Commandment, Feasts in the New Testament, Acts, a program from 2014, Feasts with Yahweh, That Other Feast, A and B, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, 7 days, Giving and Sharing, History of the Feasts by Brumbaugh, To Be Immersed, Immersion, Pentecost, Shavuot, Repent, Immersed, Resurrection and Feasts, Revolution of the Year, First Fruits, Shavuot, the Bride, Messiah at the Feast, Spiritual Significance of the Feasts, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, That Jewish Law, 1, 2, Tinsel and Holly, Feast of Tabernacles, Tinsel and Holly or the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Trumpets, 1 and 3, I've deleted number 2, Understanding the Feast of Tabernacles, and, oh, with Unleavened Bread, I used to have a program called that Apostolic Vacuum Cleaner, the Auric Vacuum Cleaner. Well, the apostles didn't have electricity or a vacuum cleaner, but when we clean our homes for the Unleavened Bread, we're looking almost in every crevice that there is, but we're always going to find some leaven somewhere, some product here, some ingredient. Now, this is symbolic of getting leaven out of our lives that we can't totally get all the leaven out, because sooner or later you're going to find some. We're not 100% perfect until we stand before the Father by the unmerited favor of Yahusha, his Son. So as we do this physical part of the feast, just remember that we are not 100% perfect or satisfied to get all the leaven out of our lives. Let us be unleavened. Let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, I am not the scripture answer man. I'm getting up in years. A lot of questions that are off the issue are being asked, and so I don't know if I'm going to be able to respond to all those questions. But if they deal with obedience to Yahweh's word, that I do intend to address that part. Now, here's about the blood moons. Here's a book available from from thebriancall.org by Hitchcock, Has the Final Countdown to the End Days Begun? Are the heavens telling us we are nearing the end? In 2014 and 15, a phenomenon in the skies of 4 blood moons falling during Yahweh's feasts. Scripture prophecy describes the moon being darkened and turned to blood. What is the significance of these signs in the skies? Or is there any significance to these blood moons? Mark Hitchcock addresses the alarmist claims of some prophecy teachers as he guides readers through the relevant scripture passages towards understanding the times in which we live. $15 from Tyndale House Publishers, Blood Moons Rising. That's book number B97085 from theBereanCall.com. So once again, Shalom. Have a beautiful feast. Enjoy. Get ready. Yahweh is coming quickly. Passover or Easter. I'm Stefan Yah on YahwehYahweh.name. Hallel Yahweh. May he come quickly. Maranatha.